And welcome to the Rob Call Bottom Up Radio Show, WNJC 1360 AM, out of Washington Township, reaching Metro Philly and South Jersey, sponsored by OpEdNews.com. If you want to get liberal and progressive news and opinion, just Google liberal news or progressive opinion, and Op-Ed News will pop up at the top of the Google search. My guest tonight is Marta Steele. Now, Marta Steele is a regular contributor to Op-Ed News, as well as other places. She's a grassroots writer and journalist, an academic book and journal editor. She's an activist focusing on peace, interfaith issues, and election integrity. She's got a new book out called Grassroots Geeks, Pros, and Polls, How the People Lost and Won 2000 to 2008. It's about election integrity. Welcome to the show, Marta.
Well, thank you, Rob. It's a delight to be here.
Yeah, I'm really glad to have you here. We've gotten to know each other over the years, showing up at the same events and protests and conferences. So it's kind of fun to have you on the show now.
So you've got this new book out.
Tell us a bit about it.
Well, it's a history of the election integrity movement between 2000 and 2008 and how it burgeoned from a very small group of people to masses of people who successfully organized and brought the people's choice back into office after two elections in which the man who ended up in the White House actually didn't win the election, which was a travesty. So the actual subtitle that was chosen for the book, that what you read was the original subtitle, it's The Election Integrity Movement's Rise and Nonstop Battle to Win Back the People's Vote 2000 through 2008. So that's what I cover. And I, my emphases, of course, are the grassroots and also all of the incredible instances of corruption, a huge variety of events. Ellen Tyson has actually cataloged these events at her website, votersunite.org. And she went through 2008, I believe. So if you want to find a place where everything is listed, that's it. But the categories are humongous. And in the source code alone, there are 150,000 lines, pretty primitive a lot of the time. And the experts say that to really get through it and certify it properly would take years.
So you're talking about electronic voting. You're talking about
exactly
the source code that's used for electronic voting. Now, I just have to throw a couple things in. I think the first time we met was in early 2003, 2004, somewhere around then, when there was an election integrity group organizing in the Bucks County, Philadelphia area. Coalition for Voting Integrity. What was the name of it? Marianne Gould organized it.
Marianne and Ruth Matheny. It's called Coalition for Voting Integrity. Later, we kind of thought it should have been Coalition for Election Integrity as the terminology evolved.
Yes.
That was in 2005, early 2005. I had to drive all the way from Lower Bucks County to the other side of Doylestown, but it was well worth it. There were about six of us founding matrons.
I was there, too.
You weren't at Starbucks.
Oh, no, so I was at a second meeting or something like that. Okay.
Did you go to the courthouse where there was a
I went to a meeting that I thought was the organizing meeting at Marty Harrison's house.
That was with Chuck Pinocchio. Was that the one?
Could have been. It was an exciting to be part of a new group that was just being founded, and it really grew to become a very powerful group that worked at playing a role in the county politics and the choosing of election machines. It really, I don't know that there was much effect, actually, because the Republican Party owned and operates still Bucks County. And they ended up picking one of the worst machines imaginable for the county. It was an outrage, really.
Well, it was secondhand from New Mexico, I believe,
right.
And they were going to VVPAT, voter verified paper auditable trails machines. That was the second step, really, in the evolution. What we succeeded in doing in Bucks County was convincing the citizenry that they needed optical scanners instead of the machines we had. But it didn't work on the days that they were displaying the machines for us to choose from, and the people with op scans were way in the back and rather selfie-facing. If we have time, I have a funny anecdote about my interaction with one of those machines. It's from a footnote in my book. If you want me to read the paragraph, you might get a few chuckles out of it.
Well, let's see how that goes. I haven't usually had people read from a book in the past.
Mm-hmm.
If you can just tell us about it, maybe that'll work. I want to just stay with this thing. So basically, there was a glitch in one of the units that were displayed, and because of that, they weren't chosen. Is that what you're saying?
No, they were chosen. That was the funny thing. The machine was, the front face of it was as strong as cardboard. And I pushed a button to select a candidate, and the whole front of the machine dented. And then I tried to push another button, and he had to go to the back of the machine to fix it. There was a problem. And then I'm nearsighted. I asked about a write-in candidate, and he took me to the top right. The quality of the paper was the way that the voter-verified paper auditable trails used to be, glossy, that doesn't last for a few days. With one of those stubby little pencils, you could hardly see it when I was writing it. And it was terrible for a person with defective vision. It's possible, but for someone who's blind, forget it. And if somebody in a wheelchair, it's an awful lot of trouble. And then the appeal of it was that it resembled the lever machines, which everybody, all of us, were very attached to. It was full face. And that was probably what sold it, because the commissioner said that that was the people's choice. It was an Avante, I believe it was. I don't have the name right here. But I was not impressed by it, even at another example, because couldn't get a paper trail out of it. The paper trail at the end of the day was, the audit trail at the end of the day was exactly the same as the tape of the total. And I tried to point this out to the commissioners, and they didn't listen until after the election, which was won by the Democrat by 1,000 votes, and it could have been questioned, and they seemed remorseful. And the next meeting I went to, the COO stared at me very sadly the whole meeting. Every time I looked up, he was staring at me sadly.
So you're talking about the election where Patrick Murphy defeated Mike Fitzpatrick by 1,000 votes out of hundreds of thousands.
Right, and it was because of the addition of Montgomery County, part of Montgomery County that was largely Democratic. They thought that wouldn't make a difference in the totals and it would help the other district. It was a process of gerrymandering, and it worked against them. So anyway, Fitzpatrick won the next election. I saw Patrick at an event at the Center for American Progress, and I said, are you going to run and get back your congressional seat? And he said maybe. He's working for a law firm now in Philadelphia, and very much the same old Patrick, only more so. So, oh yes.
Yeah.
He's solid.
Well, we've got a member of Congress who's turned into a real Tea Party suck up, who managed to get it through 2 years, and as has all his colleagues, done nothing. But we still have those same voting machines, so I guess now that they've got him in, I think they've gerrymandered the district a little bit, so they're fine with it. So you feel there have been some victories. I mean, so in Bucks County, I don't think there was a victory. I think that we're screwed. We've got used equipment that New Mexico dumped. Where do you see the victories?
Well, this is a bit off subject, but I read an article about how pro-gun control Fitzpatrick is. That's one victory. The victories are that we managed to get Fitzpatrick involved and interested for at least 5 minutes in the importance of optical scanners. And if we continue to publicize in Bucks County, where I no longer live, but you do, perhaps we can go to the next step. Nationwide, we've made huge progress. In my book, I say the most important element is people. And there are more and more people getting involved and spreading the word and reaching out to the Democratic voters who are usually eliminated by various extremely ingenious schemes. We're fighting. We're still reactive instead of proactive, but I could read you a list of I hate to say Republican because we're nonpartisan, but it's Republican at the moment for the most part, their methodology for keeping the Democrats away from the polls. I mean, the Republicans have known since 1980 at least officially that the fewer people vote, the more likely a Republican is likely to get into office. So we've made huge progress. Obama has won strongly in 2008 and 2012, and what's scary is they're already at work trying to eliminate the majority from selecting the president they want, which scares me. Internet voting is coming into vogue, which is terribly unfortunate, but it's a lot of fun, and it's very convenient the way that the touchscreen machines work. You can vote anywhere, which is fine. You just vote into cyberspace. No paper record at all, which defeats our whole purpose. So I want us to be proactive. There are at least two organizations formed to try to strategize and get hand-counted paper ballots as the method of choice throughout the country. And that would certainly be consistent with the 14th Amendment requiring the same types of recounts throughout the country. And the people would be involved according to the theoretics at every stage, except they maintain the secret ballot. After that, there are impartial witnesses, if there's such a thing, from every process of the vote. And it's the people who will make the difference. And we got to be proactive. We have to spread the word. They're still strategizing at Democracy Table, led by Victoria Collier, who's doing a beautiful job. and is a brilliant strategist and has a pedigree of her own because her father and uncle were famous activists since 1970 fighting computerized voting and associated corruption. So there is Victoria and another website too. I have the name of it. It is based in Watertown, Massachusetts, for hand-counted paper ballots. It's right at Google, right at the top, if you look to find it. And so there are
at
least two.
Search for hand-counted paper ballots.
Yes. And a lot of the other organizations, which are mainstream for election integrity, are also promoting hand-counted paper ballots. I've been asking about Brennan Center because they're so big on computerized registration, which at this point seems to make a lot of sense, but down the road a bit, I wonder if it still will. I think they're a brilliant think tank, and I don't mean to cast aspersions. I'm just a little uneasy because we've had such bad luck with computerization in other realms.
Clear that when you work with a computer, it's incredibly easy to corrupt the data, to hack it, and to change the information. And while computers are wonderful for doing all kinds of things, there are some things that you can't do with computers, and I think that we should be looking at voting as one of them. I really believe that when we look at places like Pakistan and Afghanistan and Iraq, where they have ink on their finger that they use to vote with, that that is a much more reliable and trustworthy and safe process for voting than what we have in the United States. I really believe that what we've done with this electronic voting, with the HAVA Act, the Help America Vote Act, that has corrupted voting so badly, and it has hurt voting integrity and election integrity throughout the world. And America has to get back to having a standard for voting that uses paper and that requires that there be a paper ballot that can be recounted, not some electronic thing that can be a button pushed in it, which is not a recount at all. What's disgusting and horrible is that judges have said that that's an acceptable form of recount, and it's just crazy and stupid and ignorant and a huge mistake and something that somebody should have pursued up to the Supreme Court.
Well,
no,
we started it. I had that example in Bucks County with the commissioners anyway. I demonstrated to them how useless it was. I didn't get any farther than that. But you said that they've done some more gerrymandering since I lived there.
I believe so, yes. They probably flipped up that portion of Philadelphia or Montgomery County that handed it to Patrick. You know, the other thing is they're talking now about the online voting. Now, that is worse, worse. And the idea that people would try to sell that as safe and reliable is really disgusting. There's no way. What's interesting is I was watching a TV show last night, and it could do more for election integrity than all of us combined. There's a show called
Scandal.
You saw it. Okay. Scandal.
Yeah, I watched it for the first time last night.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there wasn't much about election corruption on it. It was a little yellower than I would have liked it to be just because it was my introduction to the series. But I certainly am going to watch more shows. It's starting its new season. It's so popular. Next week, the new season starts. And it's absorbing in other ways, so it will. Obviously, it's keeping the people coming back. Not if you ask them why. I don't know if they would say it's the election integrity element.
I don't think so. No, it's probably the affair that the president of the United States in the show is having. But Scandal is one. Is it called Scandal or Scandalous? What's the name of it exactly?
Scandal. Just Scandal.
Scandal. Scandal. It's one of the hottest TV shows right now. And it literally shows somebody basically corrupting the vote. And it's an electronic machine that do it with. And we know that this is doable, and it probably has been done already. And I think this is the kind of thing that what you have done over the years in your writing about this is to document this, and the book pulls together the whole story.
That was my aim, because I was doing all these blogs on Voice of the Voters and blogging at various events too, and there was so much work involved in that. I thought of getting involved in Washington, D.C. statehood. Then I said, I've got all this stuff. Why don't I put it together? I'm still very much interested in election integrity, even though my value has diminished since we don't have representation in Congress and all of the appeals say, call your senator, call your congressman. So this was a great way for me to stay involved and reach out to the community. And so I put together my blogs. I did lots of additional research. The wonderful thing Marianne did and her colleagues was to keep us up to date on the current issues of the EI movement and bring on all the important people. And then she had John Gideon at the end of every broadcast. May he rest in peace. It was marvelous. He documented everything that was going on in the entire country that was relevant, and he headlined what he considered most important. So he is sorely missed. And I drew upon his reports and Op-Ed News, and the Brad blog is magisterial. He covers absolutely every atom of the election integrity movement. And there were other marvelous sources and incredible achievers, benchmarks of the movement. I would hear them speak, read what they wrote that made so much sense, and be so inspired by them. They make so much sense. It's just a question of reaching the public. And if we have to resort to a yellow TV series at the start, and it's very realistic. How to get to the people who are exhausted at the end of the day and just want to be entertained. That's it. And then they might get more interested and pick up a book like mine and read more. I like to think that, you know, they can just ignore the endnotes and read it through as a narrative. I don't think it's that inaccessible to the average intelligent reader once the TV series has kindled his interest, his or her.
That's
my hope.
So how do people get the book?
Well, they can go to Amazon. They can go to freepress.org/store.php. They can email me, and I'll send them the book directly, martasteele@gmail.com. That's easy to remember. I mean, there are other ways, too, and the book comes in all formats. It comes in paperback and all sorts of email formats. So on Amazon, you can get it for Kindle, and there are other sites. You just Google the book, and you can find it at Smashwords, I believe that's the name of the site, and The Education Publisher. You can get it in e-format for as little as $9.99. The trade paperback sells for $19.99. I'll pay the postage if you order it from me. And I want to get the word out, especially
so
when people are...
The title of the book is Grassroots Geeks, Pros, and Polls.
Polls, P-O-L-S.
Yes.
Positive and Politicians. And then the subtitle is The Election Integrity Movement's Rise and Nonstop Battle to Win Back the People's Vote. Long subtitle, 2000 through 2008. So we had to, the other was very poetic. how the people lost and won, but it wasn't as necessary as the longer subtitle. And I thought the first part would attract people because it's slightly bizarre and they might wonder what's going on, and then they'll find out from the subtitle.
All right.
That was a method to my madness.
Well, this is a book that if you care about elections, if you want to know how this works, Marta's done a great job of putting together the history of it. Marta, thanks for being on the show. This is the Radio Show, WNJC 1360 AM, sponsored by opednews.com.